Today's date is October 28th, 2013. Johnny, would you state your full name, please?
Joan Agnes Coe.
And I gotta ask you, why does everybody call you Johnny?
Well, my grandfather was a rancher down at Mounds. And the day I was born, he came up to see his first grandchild. And after looking me over, he said to my mother, "Well, Bess, I don't care what you christen this child, but I want her called Johnny." His name was John McAllister. So I have been Johnny ever since. And when it came time to get my diploma at TU, Dean Langenheim asked me, "What name do you want on your diploma?" And I said, "Well, I better have Joanne on there." I sign my checks Joanne, but otherwise I'm Johnny.
Joining us here is Mary Ann Hilly. Mary Ann, you're here because how is it you're associated with Johnny?
Johnny and I got to know each other through First Presbyterian Church. We became friends just a couple of years ago, but very good friends. After Johnny had had a spell in the hospital, and I went by to visit with her, and we just had so much fun talking that we've stayed friends. That's how I got to know her.
Great. Johnny, your date of birth?
March 10, 1915.
That makes your present age?
98 and a half.
98 and a half. Where are we recording this interview?
At the Villages of Southern Hills Rest Home.
Here in Tulsa?
Yes.
You were born in 1915. What was going on? World War I had just begun in July of 1914.
Yes.
That lasted until 1918.
Yes.
A lot of things were happening in the year of your birth. In 1915, the United States House of Representatives rejected a proposal to give women the right to vote.
My women folks were not interested in getting to vote.
In Washington, D.C., the first stone on the Lincoln Memorial was put into place in the year that you were born.
I didn't know that.
Babe Ruth hit his first career home run off Jack Warhop.
There were several interesting things besides me.
Let me ask you at the outset, you're 98 and a half. Why do you think you've been able to live so long?
Well, I think I explained that sort of the fact that I spent my summers at a place called Gypsy Camp, a camp for girls that belonged to my grandfather and his wife. It was right on the bank of the Illinois River where I lived every day in the river, in the boats, on the tennis court, or riding horseback and eating good meals. I think that kind of gave me a good start.
Where were you born?
I was born at 905 South Denver, Tulsa.
Right here in Tulsa.
Yes.
In a house?
The thing about it was when my parents decided to get married, they bought that little house before they were married, and they had the wedding. They were married there in that little house. We lived there until I was about 7 years old, and the outstanding thing that I remember about that place was that my father took 4x4 timbers and built me a swing in the backyard. When Mother bought her new house, why, I was so sorry to go off and leave that nice swing in the backyard for the new family that bought the house.
What are your remembrances of that house? Do you have an outhouse, outdoor?
Oh, no, this is 905 South Denver in Tulsa, Oklahoma. No, it would have full plumbing. But I do remember one fact. I enjoyed playing with building blocks. I would play with those blocks, and I'd go off and not put them away after playing with them. My dad would get up at night to go to the bathroom, and he'd step on those blocks. Well, he didn't do anything but just open the back window and throw them all out in the yard. That wasn't fun, to step on children's blocks.
No.
With your bare feet, you know.
Your mother's name, her maiden name?
Her name was Elizabeth J. McAllister, McAllister. They were an old Georgia family that came up here after the Civil War. Some of them settled here in Tulsa, and some of them settled in Sepulpa.
Did your mother or any of your family talk about Civil War?
Well, my grandfather, after I was a little bigger, he told me a few little things.
What was his name?
John McAllister, for whom I was named. They lived in North Georgia. When the war was going on, federal troops were rampant in that part of the country. They came into the house and went upstairs and tore up all of the bedding looking for money or silver or jewelry. He was about 5 years old at the time. They had one mule left from the stock that they had had on the farm, and it was his duty to take that mule down to a cane break and keep watch on it all day long so that they would have something to plow the garden when spring came. His father was a Methodist preacher. So after the war, and he was out of prison.
Out of prison?
My great-grandfather was out of prison.
Why was he in prison?
Because he was a Confederate soldier.
Okay.
I forget the battle in which he was taken prisoner. But he said that they were on starvation rations. And a great treat to them was to catch rats and eat them. So that was really something to eat. So after he got home from the army, he had one of the hands kill a rat and cook it. He said, naturally, it was nauseating. He couldn't possibly eat it. He organized a wagon train of 13 families and brought it out from North Georgia to Southwest Missouri. They settled around Springfield and Republic, Missouri.
It was your great-grandfather?
The man that led the wagon train.
Right.
His name was Wesley Maston McAllister. He was born and reared there in North Georgia. They came from the old country before the Revolutionary War. Anyway, after they came out here, my grandfather grew up. As a young man, they go out to seek their fortune, and he went to Colorado. He got into a freighting business. I've seen some pictures out at Gilcrease of the men driving those coaches and wagons at night. But anyway, other things were in the making. Over in Lucky, Banffshire, Scotland, a young lady had been raised as a very skilled musician. And as a graduation gift from her family, they sent her to America to visit some of her relatives out in Colorado. So Grandma came on the sailing ship and landed somewhere on the Great Lakes. There was a port that her boat came to. She then came out to this town in southern Colorado. I never forgive myself for not finding out from my grandfather the circumstances of their meeting and courtship. But anyway, they were married at Leadville, Colorado. When we took a trip out there when I was a child, we went to Leadville and saw the remains of this little building where they were married. He thought since he was going to be a family man that he'd get in something more substantial. His parents and brothers and sisters lived down in this part of the world, so they came down here and he went in business in Springfield, Missouri. Well, the panic of 1893 came along and it wiped him out.
Tell us what that was, the panic of 1893.
Well, it was just where businesses went broke. Men lost their businesses and just out of luck, you know, for a job. He had a couple of children by then. He got acquainted with Mr. Dickinson of the Dickinson Goodman Company. Mr. Dickinson sent him to Tulsa and opened their business here, which he ran very successfully for them until in the late 1890s when he became postmaster of Tulsa.
Your grandfather,
mm-hmm.
John McAllister,
mm-hmm.
he came here to Tulsa.
Yes.
And then he became the postmaster.
Yes, but it was just a political appointment. It didn't last very long. I remember the man that was postmaster at the time calling Mother and asked if she had a portrait of Granddaddy. She said they were having a group of pictures of all the postmasters down there in the post office, so Mother found a good photograph we had. So he is down at the post office.
Hmm.
And, of course, he's around our house, too.
Your father, then, your father's name?
My father's name was Claude Coe, Emmett Claude Coe, which a name none of us liked. He was from a town called Parker's Landing, Pennsylvania. There was a good-sized family of them. I think Grandfather Coe, his name was Samuel Wallace Coe, came out here for the same reasons that Granddaddy McAllister came to Tulsa. He lost his business in Parker, so moved a family out here. The oil boom had just started here in Tulsa about that time. My dad had worked on the drilling wells as a young man, so when he came out here, he and his brother Ross went to work for some of the oil companies around town. Had a little company of their own, but they didn't get along very well, so that was dissolved early on.
You said earlier you weren't sure how your mother and father met?
Well, I think there's only one answer to that, really, at the Presbyterian Church, because that was the social meeting place for the young people of Tulsa. I'm positive that that is where they met. Mother never said as much, but I feel sure that that was it.
So that was First Presbyterian?
Oh, absolutely.
Downtown?
Absolutely. My grandmother from Scotland was a very devout member of the Presbyterian Church.
Any other Civil War stories or anything beyond what you just said?
Well, I just know that they came in wagon trains to get out. They traveled on the military roads, and there were corduroy roads. the military in getting from place to place would cut down trees and lay them next to each other to get through the mud.
And they'd drive
and
across
it? And then they'd drive across it with their mules.
It took a long time, didn't it?
Yeah, that was a long time. Yeah, it was a long time.
Did we mention your grandmother's name? You talked about your grandfather.
Her name was Lizzie. That's all I ever heard spoken of as Lizzie Geddes McAllister. She was from Bucky, Banffshire, Scotland. She was born and reared, and she had an excellent education in music. That's why she came to America, because they gave her the trip to America as a graduation gift, her family. Her father came over for their marriage. He went back home, and there were three Geddes brothers. They built fishing sloops, and they had a place where they salted down the cod. And then another one, his business was making the casts for the cod. So David Geddes, that's my great-grandfather, went back home after Lizzie was married and sold his interest in the businesses and brought his family back to America, which consisted of a wife and son. They settled in Springfield, Missouri, where they lived the rest of their lives.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have one brother. He was born in 21. He's a widower. He now lives on the family property there at the camp near Siloam Springs, Arkansas.
So he's like 90?
He's 92. August, I think he was 92.
So does this long-living gene exist then in parents and grandparents?
Well,
did they all live to be a ripe old age, as
well,
we say?
Well, Grandpa McAllister lived in Sepulpa. He was the retired minister. And I think he was in his 90s when he died. And my aunt lived to be in her 90s, mother's only sister. Well, all McAllisters were fairly long-lived.